Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we are joined by Kat Stroud, a plus-size model and author. I am so excited to have you here, Kat. And she's going to talk about, I want to hear about her work, too, but especially about the difference going from a care provider that shames you to one that meets you where you're at can make. So, hi, Kat. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So you got into plus size modeling about 5 years ago?
I did. My husband actually encouraged me to join a plus pageant down in Los Angeles. And I won the Director's Choice Award. And I had a designer and photographer approach me after it and asked to work with me. And my career just kind of blossomed from there.
What? Like, he was just like, you should really, had you been interested in modeling? And
well, when I was younger, I had actually done some local TV work for San Francisco. And I had really wanted to get into acting. And I was really into theater during high school. But I had a lot of self-image issues.
Yeah.
And so with the help of therapy and the help of my husband's unconditional acceptance of my body,
aww,
it kind of turned into this big, just self-acceptance time for me. And so he was like, you know, you love being in the spotlight. You love being in front of, you know, photographers. Why don't you do this? It's just for plus size. Sign up for it. And so I did. And here I am now.
Wow, what an incredible partner. It's incredible when we have that person in our corner that kind of helps to push us maybe a little bit outside of our comfort zone or to try something new. And
absolutely.
And now it's created this whole platform for you and then to win. And like, yeah, it's so awesome. It's just a good reminder that whatever that dream is, it's never too late and we should never feel held back because of our size at all. So
100%. Yes.
I love your Instagram and the dancing you do with your daughter. It's very empowering.
Oh, thank you.
Makes me smile. And yeah, I remember when Brayden was young too, we would totally have dance parties all the time. And now
he's
kind of embarrassed of his old mom shaking her booty.
I'm
like,
not
mom.
Looking forward to when Lilith gets to that embarrassed stage and doesn't want to do them anymore. So I'm enjoying them while she's into them.
I still totally dance, or my husband and I will like sing the songs our son likes, and he gets so embarrassed. We just do it at home. We don't mortify him in public. Well, we probably do, but not intentionally. And we just still do it, and it's so fun. Like, sooner or later, he'll get over it and join in. So
yes.
So fun. Oh, the joys of parenting. And then you're an author too. Tell us about that.
I am. I've had pieces published with Bustle and FabuPlus. Literally everything that I write tends to focus on fat positivity, body acceptance, health at every size, and accepting and loving yourself. I did also write a paranormal romance with a plus size heroine.
Ooh.
As one of my key characters. Right now, I'm currently in a rewrite, and I'm looking for a new publisher, so that'll be coming out soon.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, keep me updated, and we'll put it in the show notes, too. So that's cool. Awesome. So you reached out to me because you had a story to share of being shamed by your care provider and what that was like, and then switching care. And this was during your pregnancy, so why don't you walk us through that?
Well, my husband and I had actually been trying to get pregnant for about 2 years, and it just wasn't happening, whether, you know, stress, body, whatever. It just wasn't our time.
Yeah, and 2 years is a long time to be trying,
it does,
too.
It does. And so we decided to take a break, and of course, that's when it happened, and I got pregnant. We had just come back from Viva Las Vegas, which is a huge pinup convention, like, event. It's like a whole 4-day thing. And I was just feeling icky and went to the doctor, found out I was pregnant. So I scheduled an appointment with my OB right away. Now, sadly, we had just moved. So I had just switched over OB. So I had never been to this OB before. So I made the appointment, you know, hubby comes in with me, and immediately it is just fat shaming, condescending, I'm better than you, I'm going to talk down to you attitude. We walked in, she didn't even really look at my chart. She just saw my weight and she looks up and she goes, oh, well, we're going to have to run you for gestational diabetes. And we're going to immediately classify you as a high-risk pregnancy because of your weight. Mind you, this was in the first, 10 minutes of meeting this woman.
No, not like, also hi, told me, my name is, and yeah, how are you today?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then she also told me that I would never be able to have a natural birth, that I would have to have a C-section. Was just, scare tactic. And then she went in with the diet talk. And was like, have you ever been put on a diet? Do you know how to count calories? Right now, you weigh enough that I think we should restrict some of your food because you need to drop some weight. And mind you, I just found out I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And this woman is telling me that I need to lose weight, that I need to be put on medication for high blood pressure. Mind you, she didn't even really look at my file. And I, not once in my life, have ever had an issue with high blood pressure, with my sugar levels. I've never been borderline diabetes, nothing. I've never had that kind of health concern before.
And the fact that she was saying that, oh, you're high risk just because of your weight and you can't have a vaginal birth, none of that is evidence-based. Of it. While I will say it's pretty standard for people at a higher BMI to be tested early on for, they say, gestational diabetes, but it's really testing to see if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. There's one thing to say, hey, there's a standard test we like to run. It's another thing to be like, we need to test you for gestational diabetes. I mean, it's just,
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's how we talk to people. Yeah, and that was her whole approach. It was an entire scare tactic, literally centered around shaming my weight.
What does she think that's going to benefit? I do not understand it. So I can only imagine that not only your blood pressure is skyrocketing in this moment, but what was going on with your husband there sitting there next to you?
Because I'm sitting there in utter shock because honestly, I'm not the type of person who's afraid of confrontation. If I can avoid one, I will, but I'm not one to shy from it. I was so blown away from her obvious fatphobic rhetoric that it was just mind-boggling. And my husband, who bless his heart, has gone with me to so many different modeling events and have dealt with literally fat-shaming models shaming me because they don't understand why I'm there because of my size. And he literally is just red in the face, dropped what was in his hands, stood up and put his hands on his hips and looked at this OB and was like, are you freaking kidding me?
He did that. Oh my God, I love him.
He looked at her and he was like, are you serious right now? You're talking to an educated woman who is pregnant, who happens to be my wife, who's not stupid, and yeah, she happens to be fat. Are you serious right now?
What did the OB say?
She was just kind of blown away. She looked at him like, he was speaking a foreign language and then tried to slap him down and was like, well, first of all, my first concern is your child and your wife's weight is an issue. And I just kind of looked and I was like, honestly, I was like, we need to end this. I will go on this medication because you're telling me that my blood pressure and numbers are telling you that I need to be on it. This is my first pregnancy. I'm not going to risk my child's life, you know? So
yeah, you're like, by the way, my first priority is to my baby beyond what you think your priority is. Why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I'm sitting here? Yeah,
exactly. And there was honestly, when someone is so set in their fat phobic mindset, really, there's nothing that I can say that my husband can say. No. That's going to make them reconsider their beliefs or make them reconsider their approach. I've learned this. You can't waste your energy on a stupid opinion when it's not going to change.
Yeah. So you're like, we're out of here. And that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, we're done. I'm out.
That's an option that I feel like people feel like they don't have, especially in vulnerable situations, like being at the doctor. You can get up and be like, and we are leaving. We are done. I'm done. I'm walking out of here at any point.
And that's exactly what I did. I told her, you can fill out the prescription. We will pick it up on our way out. This appointment is over. Because there was no point to it at that point.
Good.
I mean, she literally thought that I was just this fat, lazy slob that sat on my butt and ate nothing but Twinkies, Ho-Hos, and McDonald's all day long.
Yeah, and like, what, you're going to consent to a pelvic exam with someone like that? No.
Exactly, yeah. No. And even if that was my lifestyle, that still does not give her the right to treat me that way.
No.
Yeah, so my whole stance was that, okay, fill out this prescription. I will take this while you tell me to because you're a health professional. And this is my first pregnancy. It took me 2 years just to get flipping pregnant, so I'm not going to risk not listening to this doctor.
Yeah.
So I had her fill out the prescription and I was like, okay, we're done. And I told her and I was like, and just so you know, I will be making a complaint because your bedside manner was absolutely atrocious.
Good.
And I won't be coming back.
Good.
And she told me she had no problem with that.
Of course, because she's in the right and you're in the wrong. Even though things that she was saying are not evidence-based, you know, like doctors are supposed to practice evidence-based medicine, like, oh my, beyond her bedside manner, she is telling you things that are absolutely not correct.
And ended up having harmful effects during my pregnancy.
Yeah.
So we'll get, but yeah, so
beyond how I ended just up, elevated stress levels, which can be not good either, and all the trauma of what you experienced.
That I didn't need to take.
Yeah, let's talk
because
about
I didn't
that.
Need to take it. Yeah. So what ended up happening is I obviously knew that I was not going back to that woman.
Good.
And needed to find a new OB. And I was really tired of dealing with just with fat shamers and trolls. And like, because this is about the time too that my online presence kind of started to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, so all the fat shaming that happens when you are a person of size who's out in the public and online, everyone seems to know, Kat, all about your lifestyle and how you should live your life and what products they want to sell to you. Yeah, it's gross.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I hit 10,000 readers, it just was like the entitlement people felt to commenting on my body and my lifestyle and how I was living my life and anything they saw about me was just above and beyond. So mama was done.
Yeah.
Like I had hit my threshold of dealing with assholes who were fat phobic. I was done.
Yeah.
And so I literally just went onto Facebook and I typed in like plus size Sacramento. And I looked for groups that had like those keywords that were fat friendly, that were LGBTQ friendly, that were, you know, just working for everybody, not just straight size and every, you know, along those lines. And thankfully I found one. It's called Fat Positive Sacramento. Love the group. I've made unbelievable connections in that group, and I've been able to plug into the plus community of Sacramento. So it's a safe place.
I love it.
Yeah. And so I asked, I was like, okay, I need some help. I'm finally pregnant. I don't like the OB that I found. Does anybody in this group, you know, have my insurance type and work with an OB that's not going to sit there and shame me every pound? And so one of my friends in that group suggested who I now go to, and she's absolutely freaking amazing.
Yay.
I went there and within 10 minutes, she was enraged for me and was able to wean me off of the medication because there was absolutely no flipping reason for me to be taking these pills. And by taking the pills, it ended up causing me to spot throughout my entire pregnancy.
Oh my gosh.
Which ended up making my pregnancy high risk because of my stress from the spotting and being constantly worried. Yeah. So I then ended up having to be closely monitored. And then the last month or so of my pregnancy, I was actually put on like restriction. Like I wasn't allowed to do very much. Wasn't allowed to really go out and do like anything. And that condition was because of the pills that I was put on that I didn't need to take.
I'm so sorry. But I'm so glad that you advocated for yourself immediately, found a size-friendly care provider. That tip of going on to Facebook and finding a local group is so smart. It's one I encourage people to do, to find parenting groups and then find, okay, if you just had a kid, did you like your OB? Do you like your doctor? But I love taking it a step further and looking for fat positive spaces in groups on Facebook and there.
The community that I have found through that group has been unbelievable, from having chunky dunks in the summer to just fat positive pool parties in the summer, to having fat brunches, to having a fat book club, like everything. It has truly enhanced my life. Like, unbelievable. The connections I've been able to make have been wonderful. And then in return, I've been able to pay that community back too, by adding in not only my experiences, but my experiences with businesses and people around, being able to suggest, you know, body positive photographers for new moms or for people who want family photos but don't want to go to someone who's going to fat shame them.
Yeah.
So it's been a really amazing, amazing experience being able to find that group. I was really grateful for that.
That's awesome. So how did the rest of your pregnancy go? So you have the spotting, you're put on restricted bed rest near the end, and then tell us your birth story.
It went well. So the pregnancy itself was really great. I didn't quite feel that glow until I went and did my maternity shoot and they did my makeup all pretty full.
Aww.
And then I kind of felt that glow. But the last month being put on restriction, that was hard, and constantly having to worry about the spotting and seeing that going on while I was pregnant really just added so much anxiety and stress to it. And then my birthing story actually isn't that wonderful either, but it had nothing to do with my weight. Thankfully, I had a great anesthesiologist because I did do the pain meds. I did do the epidural, and my anesthesiologist was wonderful because I went in there and told him about how my first OB tried to do the scare tactics and all that. And he just kind of looked at me and shook his head, and he's like, "Your weight is not an issue. I've done so many of these with people who are even heavier than you. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. So you don't worry about it."
I love it. So, but before you're at the hospital getting the epidural, did you go into labor on your own?
No. So I hit my due date, and honestly, at that point, I was so uncomfortable, and I was having not contractions, but almost like Braxton Hicks.
Yeah, the prodromal labor.
Yeah, but then my anxiety was going like through the roof too, because I was just like so done with being pregnant.
And you're on restriction, so it's not like you can go out and do things or move around a lot. So
So my OB, she was like, "Why don't you come in on your due date? We'll check you out. We'll see how you're doing." And like, I went in there with the mindset of like, I'm not leaving without going into labor.
Yeah.
And so in the actual appointment, my blood pressure kind of started to skyrocket because they were like, "Okay, well, we're going to send you home." And I was like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And my blood pressure went through the roof, and they were like, "Okay, we need you to stay now. We're going to check you in because, you know, your blood pressure is all wonky." And so they checked me in, and then after a couple of hours, they didn't think that I was progressing. We waited about another 30 minutes and they're like, "Okay, yeah, you're actually entering labor now. We're going to admit you."
Okay.
So I ended up being admitted after that doctor's appointment and going straight from that doctor's appointment over to my hospital room.
Had you packed a bag? Were you like that dead set on you're not going home without this baby?
I did, and it was in the trunk.
I love it. Well, you're a woman who knows what she wants, and you're going to advocate for what she wants, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Exactly, and I was just so done, and my body was so done, and I was just so bloody exhausted, and I couldn't take it anymore, and so we had decided we were having baby. So I got admitted, and they set me up with the epidural when it was time. Now, sadly, that's where things kind of started to go awry. Now, they couldn't get me to dilate past 5.
Yeah.
So I was in labor for a good 48 hours.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
They couldn't dilate. They even used the, I call it the cruel instrument of torture, where it's a little balloon.
The Foley bulb.
Yeah. But yeah, they inflate that sucker, hoping to get you to dilate further. Did not happen. At one point during the night, I guess I was tossing and turning so much that my epidural actually had come out.
Oh, no.
So they actually had to come in and redo it because the port site was messed up.
Oh.
So I had to have the epidural done twice. And then after finally of just being in labor for so long, my OB was just like, honey, I'm sorry, but we can't get you to dilate further than 5. We're going to have to do a C-section.
Yeah.
And so I went in and did the C-section. So then at that point, they then had to take out the second epidural and put in a spinal tap.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. So it was a long 3 days.
Yeah, but, you know, you left that hospital with that baby, and sometimes things happen the way we don't want them to be, and maybe your body wasn't quite ready, but you were ready, and it's your story, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And honestly, even completely, like, zoned out and not being able to really feel my lower half, just seeing her and hearing her in that moment of, like, her just welcoming herself to the world was one of the most incredible moments that I could ever imagine. And yeah, so I always tell people it was a hell of a pregnancy, but the results of it were absolutely worth it.
Worth it all. Aww. And so how was your recovery? How was postpartum?
It was hard because I originally actually, since about 15, I've been diagnosed with depression. Yeah. So depression is something that I've always battled with, but I've always been very mentally aware of it, took steps with therapy and things like that. And so I was aware of the fact that I could have slipped really into the depression side of things.
Yep.
And so I made my partner very aware of that. My family was very aware of that. I checked in with my therapist regularly, just so that way, you know, everybody was kind of aware and just regularly checked in, but it wasn't a hovering of like, oh my God, she's going to slip into, oh my, you know, so
but
it was just.
I have mad respect for you. You knew that you had a history with depression. You also learned that if postpartum, if you have a history of depression, even increases your risk even more of developing postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety. So not only did you make yourself aware of this, you let your loved ones in that close circle know what signs to look for. I think that's incredible, incredible and amazing self-advocacy. And then also looking out for your best health and wellness for yourself and that baby. That's outstanding. Yeah.
Because I wanted everybody to be on the lookout because I know, you know, I do have that problem with depression. And so it was just a matter of making sure that I had that support for me. And even if I didn't feel like I could reach out for that support because I was slipping into like a manic, sad, low dip, that my support circle would know to watch out for that and make sure I had that support, whether I was willing to ask for it or not.
And you were in therapy as well.
Yeah. So that wonderful. for me was really important. As a teen, I had a really big problem with depression. I was suicidal for a while there. I was a cutter.
Oh.
And so I didn't want to put myself in that position where I could slip into that deep of a manic episode.
Yeah.
And so, because when I do get into those episodes, I don't like to reach out for help. I'm a cancer. I tend to like curl inward and not want to reach out to anybody and like bubble and isolate myself. So
then especially when you have a newborn, you almost need to put on a show.
Yeah.
And let everyone think that everything's fine. We've had a lot of people on the show share their depression and anxiety stories, and it is a lot of covering it up and not wanting to admit. And
it is. And I knew that I would feel that need to make sure everybody knew, oh, she's fine. She's doing great. But, you know, like my husband and my mother, my closest friends, like they knew to kind of watch out for that because they knew that I would feel the need to put on that air. And honestly, like going through the therapy that I did really made me self-aware of like what my triggers were, what my family needed to watch out for when I would slip into those manic low modes and wouldn't want to ask for help. And so I didn't want that to affect Lilith in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So that was really my motivation for being like, okay, we're not going to let me hide behind this depression. We're going to keep up on this. We're going to keep our eye on this. And
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing it. I'm sure people are listening and like, oh, taking notes, you know, it's important. Yeah. We talk about these things.
It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to let people know that you're not 100% all the time and let them be there for you when you need it.
Yeah. And postpartum recovery is not just physical. It's very much so emotional as well.
Very much so. Yes.
And physically, how was it recovering from the cesarean birth?
It was a little hard just because I was in a lot of pain. The way that my larger stomach is I kind of have that B belly, is I kind of have that lower belly roll that hangs over that area.
Yeah.
So for me, good tip for women that have that B belly, that have the C-section.
Give it to us.
Use period pads underneath. Not even joking. Take two period pads, put them together, put the stickiness together so that way you're just getting pad on pad. And that way it'll keep your lower belly from sweating and agitating that incision.
I love it. That's so smart. I've also, people have shared a cloth diaper can be even more soothing because it's not as scratchy as the pads. But some people really prefer the pads too. So that's a great tip. Thank you.
It helped with me keeping it clean and it helped with it keeping it dry so it could heal faster. But
I love it. I have a whole article on what's an apron belly and practical tips for daily comfort. So I'll put that in the show notes. But the pads definitely is one of the tips listed.
Absolutely. Oh, it helped.
We got to talk about these things, right? So many people have, even people of different sizes have apron bellies, and yet there's so much shame and stigma, and it's actually, you know, higher risk of infection too. So we need to be keeping things clean and dry. And so,
and thankfully I had a plus size nurse who was not shy about talking to me about it. So I loved her for that.
Awesome.
So I was like, yes, give me, let me know the tips.
Yeah. So, and then it normalizes it that there's nothing wrong with you. There's just a few things you need to do for your, for your health. Yeah.
Just adjust and shift things a little.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that part was good. So the incision part healed really nice. I will say that because I really am active and I do yoga pretty much weekly, that the yoga really, really helped me to like get back on my feet, because I could do a lot of like stretching and getting on my feet and moving around, but without like over exerting myself.
Yeah. Were you doing prenatal yoga throughout your pregnancy?
I did. Yes.
Yeah,
I was using, I've used the big medicine ball and it's become like a staple in my life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I used it during labor. I used it on my hips afterwards because my hips had such a hard time dealing with, just all the extra weight and all of that. So I used it to help with my hips, and I used it to stretch out everything out after the surgery, after the incision and all that. So it really, that big medicine ball, y'all, I'm telling you.
I'll put pictures and resources in the show notes too if people are like, what's she talking about? So
yeah, because that really helped. It did. Because and honestly, like there were times where I would have trouble like standing up and down, and just using that ball to kind of like help roll and inch myself up was like such a big difference of straight getting up and getting down. And yeah.
Yeah. And I think we sometimes feel like, oh, exercise balls, but what's if I'm too big? And Amazon actually has balls that are weighted up to like 1,000+ pounds. So like,
That's where I found mine.
Yes. Do not fear. And then just always make sure that it's anti-burst, which most of them are now. But if you go to like Target or Walmart, most of the exercise balls there weight out at a limit of around 250 to 300. So Amazon, it is an incredible resource, and it's cheaper too. So
it is. And like I said, that's where I found mine, because I knew that with my weight, because before I got pregnant, I was at about a size 22. And then about the end of my pregnancy, I was a solid 28.
Yeah.
So I knew that I needed to be careful because if I got the wrong medicine ball, it'd be popping underneath me.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not. I haven't heard a popping story yet in my 8 years of being a childbirth educator, but I always say I never want to hear that story. So always anti-burst and get the right weight limit. So, but I'm glad it was such a great tool. It's one that I recommend often. I'm just popping in to say that I've been where you might be today. Plus size, pregnant, and discouraged by all the negative information online about what it is like to have a plus size pregnancy. Over the past 7 years, as a certified childbirth educator, I've supported thousands of plus size people during pregnancy, and I've poured all the information I've gained into a guide that will support you. Get the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide today at plussizebirth.com. Be sure to enter coupon code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off your guide. You can also get the audiobook version that I recorded just for you. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Now, let's get back to the show. So now you're a mama. Talk to me a little bit about what it has been like as a model coming back into your body after going through postpartum.
Honestly, it was one of the most empowering moments, I think, of my life. And I know people really don't tend to feel that way after about their bodies. After having a baby, they tend to like hate the baby weight and stress about getting it off. I was the exact opposite.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So I will say before I had my daughter, we were talking about the apron belly. I was actually still very self-conscious about the lower portion of my belly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would still cover it up. I'd still kind of wear like not the Spanx shorts, but the tiny little shorts that would kind of cover the lower belly and make it look a little smoother kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was still my own little insecurity that I was working on with my body. After I had my daughter, that completely dropped away and was non-existent. I was like, this is the belly that carried a child. Y'all can go screw yourselves if you don't like it.
That's your problem, not mine.
Yep, that's your problem, not mine. I did not diet at all. I did not count calories at all after she was born. I kept eating the way that I have been eating and did not change a thing. So it just really like, I was just like, yeah, if this belly can have a child, then it deserves to be here in whatever shape or form it's comfortable in. And that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah. No more punishing yourself with dieting, but just listening intuitively to what you want and what sounds good and what nourishes you.
And it really just, like I said, it kind of obliterated that little tiny little bit of insecurity that was still kind of weighing me down, and it's just not there anymore. So it was really empowering. It was wonderful.
And now, have you been able to find good care providers in your regular healthcare moving forward?
I have, thankfully. And again, it's honestly been about advocating for myself and for my daughter, because there was also the first pediatrician I went to tried to tell me that she was too heavy and we needed to restrict her food because, you know, her mom's fat and we needed to restrict my food. And it was, yeah.
Oh my gosh, how old was your daughter?
She had just turned one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they're looking at the plus size mom, and it's so infuriating sometimes going into the pediatrician visits and so much anxiety. Yeah. And you're like, actually, like, I'm very much aware of all of these things, and I want to do the very best by my child.
Exactly. And so we definitely did not go back and see that pediatrician. Now, honestly, we work with an amazing pediatrician, Dr. Chan. She's incredible. She's actually very world renowned. She goes on conferences and things like that all over the place for her advocacy for children and how she does not body shame. And she talks on a lot of different topics and different things. But honestly, she's incredible. credible. So we had to hunt for her and we got her.
Good. I'm glad you got her. Well, even in 2016, the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with a statement saying that, you know, we shouldn't be focusing on weight. We should be focusing on healthy habits. And that was a statement to both care providers and parents. And I think that that's so true. But we have to do that good advocacy for our kids in
those. And that's what, and that's what I really loved about her approach too, is she was more concerned about whether we were giving our daughter sugary juices than compared to what her actual weight number was.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Oh, I love it. You've shared so much. I think just the way that you advocate for yourself and your child, and you're a strong woman who knows what she wants, and it's not always easy, but doing the best by yourself, it helps your child to see that it's so important for our overall wellness as well.
Yes.
What advice do you have for someone who's been listening and they're like, oh, I need to advocate for myself, but how do I find the courage to do it?
Honestly, the best advice I can give is just know that you're worthy of respect, that your worth isn't tied to your weight, and that anybody that's going to treat you that way is not going to be on your side. You need a doctor that's going to be on your side, working for your better health, not for their fatphobic rhetoric. So just know that you need to have enough respect for yourself to walk out, to say no, that I'm not going to put up with this, and I will look for someone else who can help. And don't be afraid to ask for that help. Like I said, I went into social media and I went into and found, you know, a safe little community. So you just got to dig in and kind of look for it, and you can find it. And just remember that you're worthy of respect, and that anybody that's not going to give that to you is not going to be an advocate for your health. So you need to find somebody who can do that.
I love it. Yes, I echo all of that. How about someone who's postpartum and trying to come in to their body and love their postpartum body?
Honestly, I would say your body just carried a baby.
Yeah.
Respect it. Give it some love, because it just created a life. That's amazing. Just don't try and focus on dropping the baby weight and all that, because that's bull crap. You don't need to. As long as you're choosing healthy decisions for yourself and for your baby, then keep doing you, and it doesn't matter what pant size you wear.
Yeah, especially right after giving birth. Like, I think it took you 10 months, not 9, 10 months to grow a human being. Like, how long do you think it's going to take for even just our organs? Who cares about the outside? I mean, we do, but we focus so much on the outside. Like, your organs have completely shifted. Like, it's going to take time for everything to shift in different ways, and things are not going to go back in the exact same place they once were. But your body is amazing.
Exactly. And on top of that, you've got different hormones now. You're probably stopping taking the prenatal vitamins, so you've got the vitamins that are going now taken too. And it's a lot of different things. And then when you factor in the stress, of taking care of a baby.
Yeah.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Give yourself some time. Give yourself some time to get comfortable again and to recognize that body again, because now it's all yours again. And that does take some time to get used to. So I would just say, give yourself that time and give yourself some love and some understanding. You just created a life, for goodness sakes. Like, you're amazing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Where can people find you, Kat?
So I am at katstroudxo.com and katstroudofficial on IG.
Wonderful. Well, I will put all that in the show notes and some great tips and resources as well. I have so enjoyed having you on the show with us today. Thank you, Kat, so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I honestly loved sitting here and chatting with you. Loved it.
Oh, me too. All right. Until next time. Bye, friends.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.